Live from the podcast studio, this is From Long Distance to Marriage with Rich and Andrea. We're a once long distance couple who closed 5,000 miles of distance and are now happily married.
We talk long distance, marriage and relationships.
Hello everyone, welcome to episode 98 of From Long Distance to Marriage. This week we wanted to talk about a very common problem in marriages and all sorts of relationships, and that is when you hit a rough patch. We've had a couple.
Yeah.
But essentially, you might find that these manifest in different ways for different couples. So it could just be that you guys are really out of sync and you're not even in this, like, I'm working on the same schedule maybe. It could be that you're just not communicating correctly and you end up being really snappy with each other. It could be something potentially more serious. I think we kind of want to leave things more like cheating and you know, bigger issues as...
But, yeah, leave the issues out of it. But this can be... You can be at your wit's end with it. You know, people get like, is this the end of the relationship? Can we come back from this? Do we need a divorce? And I think before we dive into it, what we're going to say, you know, it's worth... Anything like this, there are so many good resources. You know, the guests we've had, people like Dov, you know, he works with married couples and, you know, without sounding dramatic, can bring them back from the brink. You know, Tony and Lisa from One Extraordinary Marriage, they've been on this show twice, but their podcast is somewhere in the region of 600 episodes now.
That was 6 billion.
Could be 6 billion. Yeah, Elise is a coach, relationship coach.
Zudin Shahar.
You know, but there's just... Don't be afraid to look, if you don't like the people we've spoken to, just look for, you know, marriage podcasts, marriage guides, because it's very common. Like you said, it's very common, and there's a lot of fantastic advice, and so much of it now is just freely available. And beyond that, we also have said before that, maybe not quite relevant for this, because if this is a problem for you, then you're there. But don't let actual therapy be something that you only get when there's a problem. It's always better to do things to learn in advance.
Yes, well, it could be a little problem.
Yeah, it could be. Or you could just be thinking, you know, yeah, it could be you're slightly out of sync, or you listen to this and think, oh, I hope that never happens to us. The reality is it will. And so much of this, as we'll get into in a minute, is just learning each other. And it could be that, you know, seeing a therapist up front, it's almost like just getting your car serviced. You don't wait for it to fall apart. You get it tuned up, make sure everything's good, and a therapist can do the same thing for you, for your relationships. So with that out the way,
yeah, and I think like what you said really was on point, you know, before we kind of went down that little path, was that even if it's not something huge, even if you haven't been cheated on or you haven't been majorly lied to, like the little rough patches that crop up because of lots of little things can absolutely drive you mad and really make you feel like you are not getting along. And it can make it really hard. You know, just because it's not a big dramatic issue doesn't mean that it's not something very real
that you're going through. Well, and sometimes the small bickers can be the worst, because then it, like, a big, no one likes a big argument, but they're normally done. You move on.
There's a resolution usually. Yeah. You can't move past it.
When it's the bickering, the snapping, the bitchiness, that can feel worse because there's much more constant, and you kind of think, I don't know what's caused this. I feel like this has been going on forever. I don't know how to move past this. We're not the couple we used to be. Whereas an argument, you know, yes, fine, if it's predicated on something like an affair, that is different. But if it's just an argument, it's normally, I'm trying to think how you'd visualize it, you know, but it's more like, it's just something big, and then you go back to normality. Whereas a bicker is like more of a...
It's insidious.
Yeah, so...
It builds up and it sits there and it creeps in when you may not even realize there's an issue. Whereas, boom, big problem, you're going to, you know, fight it out tooth and nail.
But I think the crux of it, the smaller ones that just not getting on, you feel like you're out of sync, that, you know, we've said repeatedly about the big ones for us when we first moved in our first flat together, and we just struggled to get along. So much of it is...
That was big stuff and little stuff constantly.
Yeah, but so much of it really comes down to one or both of you just feeling or being misunderstood. So previous episodes that we've done that would be really relevant for this are, we've done a couple on communication and the love languages, but we also did the episode on non-verbal communication, and I think that's really important, because it could be things like, you know, sometimes what we say or what manifests isn't the issue. So let's say, you know, you might snap at me because I've not done something, and I'm thinking, well, that was really over the top for this issue. The transgression was minor and the response wasn't. But the reality is, maybe that's just actually what you're really annoyed is that you're feeling like you're doing too much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or in that nonverbal communication episode, we made the point about people having different tendencies. Some people are leaders and some people prefer to be led and being not necessarily dictated to, but they just kind of like to know, you're in charge of these things and I'll take care of my areas. Mm-hmm. And if you feel like, oh, well, now I've got to do all these things, I've got to lead in this household and I'm not used to that and it's not my personality, that can bring up all sorts of emotions and frustrations and irritations, and that's going to manifest in bickering and snide remarks and sarcasm. So that may not be communicated explicitly. They may not say, I'm leading and I'm not used to this, I'm not equipped for this, I need you to step up. They may not say that. It would just say, why have you done that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so this isn't necessarily, well, obviously we're going to say the cliche in a minute of communicate, but not forgetting that communication isn't always verbal, and sometimes you just need to think, have I done anything different lately? Have I spent the past 2 years treating them this way, doing these things, and now suddenly I'm not? Yes or no? If it's a yes, maybe that's contributing to it. You know, don't expect to just say, what's the problem, and to get told. Sometimes it's more subtle than that.
Well, and also, there may be a problem that your partner can't actually verbalize because it's so twisted into so many different little things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to communicate effectively. I mean, we were just having a conversation just earlier today, and it wasn't an argument or anything, and I was struggling so much to say what I was trying to say, and you were like, come on, what are you trying to say? And it's like, well, I'm not entirely sure, and that's why I'm struggling with it. Like, and you didn't harp on me for it. Like, it was like, come on, words out. What you do? What you saying?
Yeah.
And that's, you know, it's hard. It's very hard to effectively communicate things at times when maybe you do feel misunderstood. And, you know, if you feel like things have been really off between the two of you, sometimes you're afraid to speak up because you don't want to make it worse. You don't want it to blow up into something. If things have been bubbling at the surface, then you say, actually, I'm really fucked off because this is not fair. And you may be 100% right, but it still can be scary or hard to bring it up and really face it.
Yeah, and sometimes, yeah, everyone knows that we can be perversely more comfortable taking things out on the people closest to us. So it could be that work's given us a hard time, or we're stressed about an exam or a test, or there are other things causing stress like family issues or health issues or whatever it may be. It could be that the relationship itself is great, but there's external factors that just make you suddenly snap or react. You know, so I think it's always important, if you're on the receiving end, empathy is a really big one. Just think, you know, I know this isn't a presumably, if you've been together a while, if you're new, then it may be different. But if you've been together a while and you know this is a change in behaviour, then you'll be able to rationally say, look, I know that this isn't their natural personality. I know they're not a bad person. I know they're not trying to cause me harm. What's going on? Like with you, I can always tell when, not always tell, but it's pretty easy to tell you're stressed about something. So I don't get, I don't go to that place of, oh, this is so personal.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, look, maybe you need a bit of space, maybe you need a bit of support, maybe you need some help, and vice versa. So if you're on the receiving end, try and just take a step back before you react and think, okay, what's going on in their life? And then if you're the one giving that, then, you know, think alternatively, like, do you know what? Actually, they don't deserve this. They've not done anything wrong. Actually, they've done everything I need from them. Or is there any minor things they're not doing right and I could express things better? Maybe I just need to tell them I'm really sorry, but there's a lot going on. And this is where the non-verbal comes in again too. You know, you were having a hard time a couple of years ago now. And I just tried a little bit different. I went to the shop and I got you some bath bombs and ran you a bath. Just little things to try and help you relax and take your mind off what was bothering you, because the relationship wasn't the problem. I didn't need to apologise for anything. Mm-hmm. I didn't need to try and make amends or something. I didn't need to think, oh God, like, what am I doing? There was something else, and it was genuine, as in something like a physical thing, you know. But also it was my duty there to step up and think, okay, what can I do to try and make you feel better? That wasn't, you didn't say to me, I need you to help me relax, I don't think.
No, yeah. I might have said, I just need some gentle support right now or something like that.
And, you know, those little surprises, I think, can go a long way. So both parties need to just be conscious of it. And then as far as getting off track, this to me is the main area of it. Because once you realise it's not personal, once you're able to just kind of see things a bit differently and realise that there's a misunderstanding along the way, you're going to come to the table with a lot more understanding for each other and more willingness.
Yeah, and I think something that's really important is actually, you know, we talk about, you know, your own responsibility to look inside yourself. And I don't remember if it was Freud or if it was Jung, one of the psychologists I had to study at uni at some point. But there's kind of all the stages of your childhood. And one of them is where you think the world revolves around yourself. And, like, that you're kind of the only kind of real one, if that makes sense. And you're at the center of your own universe. And I think in a relationship, it's so easy as an adult to kind of be stuck in that mentality. It's so easy to think that, you know, we're floating around doing everything perfect and we can't do anything wrong because, of course, in our head, we're usually right. And the things that we think, you know, or what we believe. So, of course, we think we're right. That's why arguments happen, because two people have a clashing idea.
Well, on that point, go on.
But all I was saying was that it's really important to look inside yourself and notice when what your portion of the responsibility is in this rough patch, because it usually is two people. Maybe it starts with one situation because of one person, but it goes back and forth, takes you to tango. But I think it's just really valuable to think things feel weird. Actually, yeah, I noticed that I did this or that the other day or whatever. Like we had this, like yesterday, I've recently realized that I become snappy if I just have a lot on my mind. Like if my brain, it's not that I'm,
I do too.
It's not that I'm annoyed or I'm particularly stressed, maybe, you know, the normal, okay, good stress. But if I just have a lot rolling around in my brain, it's almost like if you bring something to me or you want to talk to me about something, it's almost like this is too much.
Yeah.
And then I snap.
Or you forget.
Yeah. And I was doing that to you yesterday. It was something that you said so pretty innocently, and maybe your tone was a little bit that I didn't like, but because I was so distracted and overwhelmed in my mind about something, I snapped, and then we kind of were off kilter last night. We weren't arguing, but I could just tell we weren't synced up, and then it was even like it this morning. And I stood up, and I just said, look, I know I was really off last night. I'm sorry. Like, this is why this has happened. You know, I don't want that to affect you. Da-da-da. And, you know, I took responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And it took a long time to get there in terms of our, you know, the length of our relationship. Well, years ago,
that would have been an argument.
Yeah.
But what I was going to say before was communication is like an iceberg. You know, what we hear come out of the other person's mouth is that tip of the iceberg. And then beneath the surface of the water, like, we only hear that filtered output. For us to get to that point of verbalizing what we say, a huge amount of information runs around our head.
Mm.
And we think, you know, there's lots of things I could say, there's things I could react with. Just not necessarily negative ones, and you find the most positive. There's just a lot of information being processed into a fairly concise verbalization of what you're saying. Yeah. So it's important to bear that in mind too, that what they're saying is their best attempt at verbalizing something. It's not necessarily 100% accurate. You know, it's not that it's a lie or that it's wrong, but it could just be sometimes you need to read between the lines. Like, okay, and you know, some people are better than others at communicating. You know, you hear some people articulate things, you think, how on earth did you just get all the information across so succinctly? You know, like, I'm always in awe of that. And then you get some people who really struggle to say what they feel, especially, or not especially, but it can be compounded by people who are insecure and worried, if I say this, you're going to judge me, or if I say this, it's going to come back at me. So, you know, just bear in mind that what they say, sometimes you have to interpret that a little bit, or just fill in the gaps a little bit.
Yeah, 100%. And I think in terms of getting through it, it really does come down to communication and doing that correctly. And I mean, like what you were just saying now, like, yeah, by the time someone brings something up, they've been thinking about this for a while. And it's also important to remember that we all stuff things down and don't mention it. You know, we probably have it between us every day. There's little things that habits or things that we neglect to do that rubs the other one the wrong way. And you don't say anything, and you don't say anything, and you don't say anything. And then finally, for whatever reason, like, for God's sake, why can't you just do this?
Yeah.
And it's not like it's come out of nowhere. There's things that Rich has asked me to do repeatedly. There's things I've been asking him to do literally since day one of marriage, and they're still not happening. And so he knows that if it blows up, actually, it's kind of warranted. And I know, actually, you know what? He did ask me to do that, and I'm human. I forgot. But I think the human element is what's so important to remember.
Well, that ties in perfectly. I was just saying that tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
You think, oh, why are you overreacting to the...
Perfect.
Yeah, but it is. It really is. But I think it's just worth bearing that in mind.
Yeah. But the human thing is absolutely also worth bearing in mind that I think sometimes we actually expect too much of our partners. It's really easy to do. And, you know, we've had instances where perhaps I've blown up and it's been completely not unwarranted, but what's the word where it doesn't like match up? Like, it's, I guess, overreaction. It's not.
Mm-hmm.
What word am I trying to think of?
It's not the word I said earlier.
What did you say?
I don't remember now.
Well, that's not helpful, is it?
It was earlier.
It's not...
Proportionate?
Yes, it's not proportionate to the situation. So, maybe I'm right in the sense, or I'm, you know, warranted in the sense that I feel upset or frustrated about something, but my reaction becomes over the top. I am Irish by ancestry, so I have a bit of a temper. But, you know, when Rich will say, hey, this is completely disproportionate to the situation, it's really hard to... You can't just put your heels in the moment and stop and say, like, oh, yeah, I'm wrong.
Mm.
But in that moment, it is really important for Rich to remember, even though he's the one that I'm lashing out at and, you know, he's done something to upset me, but he probably doesn't deserve the reaction he's getting out of me. It's important to remember, like, she is human. Like, there's more going on in her world right now than just this situation that's upsetting her. And we don't always respond correctly. And that is okay because we are growing, evolving, learning beings and we're never going to be perfect. What is important is that I acknowledge whenever I can, even if it's the next day, hey, that was really, I'm sorry, you know?
Yeah.
And you just have to remind yourself in the moment. They're human. They're human. I do this too. I am also human and I let them down in my reaction sometimes too.
So to be more positive about things, if you're at that point...
Nothing negative.
Well, no, but we've been focusing on reasons and how to deal with it. But, you know, there are, I think, shortcuts to getting... I mean, say shortcuts, you know, long term, it takes effort on both sides. You know, going back to what you said before, that it took a long time for us to get to the point where... We can just say, oh, okay, I'll leave that. Because years ago it would have been, don't talk to me like that. What's going on?
I haven't done anything wrong.
And yeah, that's probably normal. So if you're 6 months, a year into a relationship, but you're not, you know, then it's different to us being 10 years in.
Mm.
And equally for us, the people who are 20 years in, there are places for us to get to.
Mm.
But more short term, you just try and think, like, remember why you're together. What was it that drew you to each other in the first place? If there are things you like to do, certainly if you're in person, it doesn't have to be in person. If you're long distance and you have favourite movies to watch or games to play, or, you know, if you made things for each other, just reminisce a little bit, but or do the things together. Watch that favourite film together, play the games together, go on a date together if you can. You know, just be intentional with your time and think, actually, do you know what, let's put all that to one side and let's just reconnect physically or emotionally and just think, just we don't need to worry about dishes or whatever the argument was or work or anything. We'll just, let's just be present together and re-familiarise yourself with what it was that you liked about each other in the first place.
Yeah, and I think the making time, you know, intentional time, whether that's a date or just sitting down and playing a video game you guys played when you were first together, whatever that is, it's creating the opportunity to connect with one another in a way that's beyond whatever the stupid shit is that's getting in the way, or not stupid, but, you know, just the stuff that's getting in the way and making you off sync with each other. And for us, I know every couple's different, but for us, when we start to get out of sync, it's because we haven't had those opportunities to connect. That could be physically, and that could be emotionally or... you know, it's date wise.
It's when it can get too workmanlike, I think. You know, when we talk, or you say regularly, you know, that it can be like a business at times, and that's true. But there needs to be that balance, because when it becomes too much like a business, you know, when you're not blowing off any steam, it's you know, hard, particularly now with COVID and lockdowns, and you're, if you live together, you're together a lot more than you used to be, probably. You know, so it's harder. So, yeah, just spend that time. And you know, if you're not having much sex, that can make a huge help in reconnecting. And it's very difficult, I think, if you have sex with someone to then hate them straight afterwards. You know, you feel different.
Yeah, not straight away.
You feel different towards them in a good way. And that's true of just like having a good laugh together. Mm. You know, just do something enjoyable. Go for a walk together. Watch a comedy that you both like. Like, because equally, when you're in a bad mood, it can be difficult to come out of a bad mood.
Mm.
So if you're in a bad mood and you go into this situation, it's unlikely that you're going to... You're going into it... it's going to be bringing things worse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't articulate today. whereas if you try and go into it more positively... Positivity, I think, breeds positivity, and negativity breeds negativity. So if there's something that you know you're going to enjoy, like, oh yeah, that is my favourite film, or we'll just do this, we'll turn the phones off, there'll be no distractions, I can't get an email that's going to worry me, or this person can't call me, I'll turn it off. Just give yourself that opportunity, and just do the things together that are going to allow you to reconnect and remember, actually, yeah, this is what I really like about you, and, you know, you're not a pain.
Yeah, and I think it's also worth remembering that overall, this isn't typically something to worry about too much in terms of it having a dire effect on your relationship. These things happen. You're going to have rough patches. As long as, you know, you work at it, you'll get through them. And it's also worth remembering that, you know, it sounds silly and cliche and like it belongs in a Hallmark card, but you are going to fall in love with each other. Not that you ever fall out, but there are times when you fall in love again, if that makes sense. You know, we've never fallen out of love with each other, but there have been times when we've rediscovered, you know, elements of that, you know, initial falling in love and gone through that process again. And that's a beautiful thing to work towards. If you're finding that you're out of sync and just, like, this is an opportunity to romance one another, to create that falling in love again.
And it's always the little things just that can spark it again. Like, just spontaneously go and give the other one a kiss, or, you know, anything, tickle each other, you know, just the little things really matter. You haven't got to think, oh, I need a big grand gesture, we've got to recreate everything all over again.
I think that's particularly hard for men, because you really struggled with that.
Yeah.
For a long time.
But just, it can be something really simple and seemingly small. Because it's not about the size of the gesture, it's the size of how it's received, if that makes sense.
Do you know what, like, makes my day is when I get from you a cute, sweet gif, like, on like my iMessage, like a cute little gif of a heart or something that says I love you. Like, that genuinely makes my day, because it tells me he's thinking of me, and he also took the time to go and find something cute to send to me that he thought would make me smile. Like, I was having a really, this just happened last week, I was having a really shitty day. You know, I'm not at work, I'm in the study upstairs at home, and just wasn't having a good day. And that got a little something out of you. You didn't know I was having a particularly bad day. You just did it for whatever reason. You felt like it, and it completely turned my day around.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have to be big. You're totally right. It's just showing that you're making an effort. And it is also worth remembering that you're not both going to be making 100% effort all the time. You know, the person who's kind of leading the way in the relationship, it's going to change over time. It's going to swing back and forth between the two of you. And you just have to kind of buckle in and know that this happens, trust the rhythm, and do the right things.
Yeah.
And don't be dicks.
Don't be a dick. That's probably a good place to wrap it up.
Yeah.
Don't be a dick.
Don't be a dick. Be play nice to each other.
Be nice to dicks.
Unless you're lesbians, then you don't have to play with dicks.
True. Yeah.
Play with vaginas.
Play with vaginas.
They enjoy playing.
Play with genitals.
Yes. All of them enjoy it. Always has a good outcome, as long as it's consensual. But yeah, I think, if you have any ideas that you want to share for what you do to kind of help get out of ruts in your relationship where you're just not seeing eye to eye, you can't stop bickering, you don't have time for one another, share with us. And most of all, have a good week.